Chapter 6. This little boy is in big trouble. A cold wind blew off the River Harb, along the road which led to Douglas King's house. It froze the fingers of Parker, Hawes, and Kronig, the three detectives who were working there, working in the cold and the dark. Any detective, any man, would rather be at home on a night like this, at home with a good book, a good woman, or a good bottle of whiskey. To be honest about it, a bad book, a bad bottle of whiskey, even a bad woman would be better than this cold. But the job had to be done. The marks made by a car, a match thrown in the road, a cigarette end, anything could be important in a case like this. Anything could lead to the missing boy. At last they found it. Small marks in the frozen mud by the side of the road. The marks made by the tires of a car. A car that has been turned around in a hurry. Reynolds was watching Cassidy, the man from the telephone company, as he worked. Cassidy was putting an extra telephone into Douglas King's house for the police to use. He was putting in a wiretap, too, so that it would be possible for the police to trace the kidnapper's call, if he called again.
"I thought we'd hear something by now," Reynolds said.
"Don't worry, mister," Cassidy told him. "When they find out they got your kid by mistake, they'll just leave him in the street somewhere. The kid's all right, believe me."
"If they leave him in the street, he'll get lost," Reynolds said. "He won't know where to go."
He turned to Corella, who had just been talking on the phone.
"Did they have any news, Detective Corella?"
"I was talking to Auto Squad," Corella said. "I've asked them to check all stolen cars in case the kidnappers had stolen the car they used." "He's worried about the kid," Cassidy said. "I keep telling him it'll be all right. Any minute now, the kid could walk in the door, not a hair on his head harmed."
"Do you think so?" Reynolds asked Corella.
"Well," Corella started, and then the doorbell rang. It was Parker, happy to be in at last from the freezing cold. "We found a tire mark," he told Corella. "Kronig's making a cast of it now. Not that it will help anyone. It's all a waste of time, if you ask me. The kid's probably dead already." Corella quickly touched him on the arm and looked across the room at Reynolds, but it seemed that the chauffeur had not heard Parker's remark. "They ought to take all kidnappers out and shoot them," Cassidy said. "The electric chair is too good for guys that can steal a man's kid from him." "Well, I guess I've finished here. I'll just test my phones and go." "Have you heard anything yet, Detective Corella?" King said as he came into the living room with a coffee cup in his hand. Diane and Cameron were directly behind him.
"Not yet, Mr. King," Corella said.
"Well, what's the problem? Are your men really looking for the boy? Do they have a description of him?"
"Yes, sir, they do."
"Do they know he may be somewhere out on the street? Some member of the public may find him. Is anybody taking phone calls from the public?"
"It's all taken care of, sir."
"All this," King said, "extra phones, wiretaps. It all seems a waste of time to me. There's even a policeman outside my son's bedroom door."
"That's right," Corella said.
"We're taking no risks. We have no idea what the kidnappers will do next, you see."
"I don't think they have any choice," King said. "They'll have to let the boy go free."
He caught sight of Reynolds, still standing miserably on the other side of the room. "Go to the kitchen and get something to eat, Reynolds."
"I'm not very hungry, Mr. King."
"Go on, man. You've got to eat. Jeffrey will be back before you know it."
When Reynolds had gone, Diane said,
"Mr. Corella, the kidnappers know by now that they've got the wrong boy, don't they?"
"They should know, Mrs. King. It's been on all the radio and TV stations and in all the newspapers."
"You don't think they'll harm him, do you?"
"Of course they won't," King said sharply. "As far as they're concerned, it's just a business deal that's gone wrong."
"They may harm him, Mrs. King," Corella said calmly. "You know that sometimes a thief will beat up a man for not having any money to give him."
"That would be senseless," King said. "I'm sure they'll let him go as soon as they know he's not my son. These people are not stupid."
You don't have to be smart to be a kidnapper, Corella said. You just have to be hard-hearted. We hadn't thought of that, Cameron said. They may hurt him before they let him go. It's a possibility. Yes, Corella said. There's another possibility, too.
My name is Jeffrey Reynolds, the boy said.
Sai took him roughly by the arm.
You're lying. I'm not lying. Hey, let go that sweater, will you? It doesn't belong to me.
You lying little bastard, Sai shouted, and pushed Jeff hard, throwing the boy across the room. Kathy screamed and took a step towards the boy.
What's your father's name? Sai shouted.
Charles!
Where do you live?
At Mr. King's place.
Don't call him Mr. King, Sai shouted. You know he's your father.
No, Jeff said desperately. He's Bobby's father.
Shut up, Sai shouted. Take off that sweater.
He pulled it over Jeff's head roughly. A slow smile spread over his face.
If you are called Jeff, why is the name in your sweater Robert King?
That's Bobby's sweater, Jeff said. Mrs. King lent it to me.
Tell the truth.
I am telling the truth.
Sai stood there calmly, a small, neatly dressed man who badly needed a shave. Then suddenly, violently, he hit the boy across the face.
Eddie, stop him!
Kathy shouted as Jeff rushed into her arms, crying,
I am Jeff Reynolds! I am! I am!
Stop it, Sai, Eddie said. The kid's frightened. Let me see the sweater. He looked at the name in it. It says Robert King, Kathy.
He says he borrowed it. Is that so hard to accept?
Yeah, Sai said. With 500 grand to lose, it is hard to accept.
Let's take the boy home, Kathy said softly.
Sure, Sai said, and go straight to prison. He knows us. He could lead the police to us.
He turned to Eddie.
We want that money, don't we?
I don't want it, Kathy screamed. I don't need it.
Well, I do, Eddie said softly. I want that money. I wasn't born in Smoke Rise with a rich father. When the hell did anyone ever give me anything? This is my one chance to have something. I want a place of my own in Mexico. A place for you and me, Kathy.
There were tears in his eyes as he spoke.
But he's the wrong boy, Kathy said.
No, Eddie said. No, he ain't.
Eddie, you know he is.
When you think about it, Sai said softly, what difference does it make? Maybe we got the wrong kid. Maybe this is the chauffeur's boy. We can still ask King for the money.
He won't pay, Sai, Eddie said.
He'll pay all right, Sai said, because if he won't, then this little boy is in big trouble.
He paused and smiled at Jeff.
And I don't think Mr. King would want blood on his hands.